During the season of Advent, we prepare for the coming of God incarnate. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, having a special time of preparation for the coming of God incarnate is actually redundant. Preparing for such an encounter with something we should do all the time, when we pay attention, we realize that looking at God face to face happens daily. Advent, being redundant or not, it is still a time that we prepare not only for our daily encounters, but for a special event in the life of creation, the birth of Jesus Christ. Since you're here tonight, gathered into community, you have let the world know that you didn't miss it. Through all the hustle and bustle, through all the rushing here and there, decorating, special dinners, gift wrapping, holiday parties, and eggnog, you didn't miss it. You were able to come here with other believers for this celebration, for this presentation of the greatest gift of all. It's like in The Lion King when Mufasa, from the pinnacle of his kingdom, presents his newborn son Simba to the world. You know the scene. Here is my son. Love him. So we made it to this silent night. Our symbolic baby rests in the manger of our creche, surrounded by the usual suspects of livestock, poor, unclean shepherd boys, soon to be refugee parents, and the brightness of angelic starlight. We, as believers in this glorious event, love the holy image of the Nativity. We love the image of the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothing, sleeping peacefully as his young mother Mary watches over him. We embrace this Nativity scene so much that we put up little figurines in our homes depicting the event, and some of us may even have a collection of them. You know who you are. I have several myself. Now, some believers go big and put a giant set in their yards, and even others take it a step further, and they reenact the Nativity with live donkeys, sheep, and camels even. Humanity has the most beautiful. Some have come to life through simple verse, all the way to great anthems. We, as a community of believers, are so moved by the image of Jesus' birth that we have written song after song about it. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Away in the manger, no crib for his bed. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? We'll get a little later to silent night, holy night. And we'll end with joy to the world, the Lord is come. We all have our favorite Christmas song. And for many of us, it's really not even Christmas until we've sung them. Yes, we love the image of the baby Jesus and the night the world changed. This image of a baby is easy, especially when the baby isn't ours. You bring a baby into a room and everyone has to get a look at it. I mean, even the crotchety old guy who doesn't like kids, he wants to see it too. He doesn't want to hold it or cuddle it like some of the folks would want to, but he still wants to get a peek. It's like we are drawn to new life and the innocence and the great potential it represents. And I don't know about you, but there is something special about the softness of a newborn and that new baby smell. It's all snuggy snug until things turn south. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, stuff goes in and other stuff comes out. The new baby smell turns ripe and the swaddling clothes need changing. Or when the baby's cute little button nose erupts in volcanic lava of green slimy goo and their precious soft cheeks crust over like igneous pumice stone. When it's our own child, we have to respond to these unpleasantries. But when it's not, we just subtly return the child back to the family. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is leaking? When we enter into the life of Jesus through the waters of baptism, we come to realize that we can't simply accept the serenity of the Nativity. Our baptisms are an adoption into the family of Christ. And if we believe in this adoption, we can't just embrace the baby Jesus when things are clean and easy. We have to embrace the hard stuff too. When the baby starts leaking, we can't just hand him back to his family. We are his family. God didn't create the nativity scene for us to find comfort in Christ's birth. God created the nativity to make us uncomfortable. God became incarnate through the womb of an unwed teenager. It's easy to write off the discomfort by saying, yes, however, she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But just think about the rumor and scandal this brings upon girls today. Then the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, and they were sent to find the Holy Family. We love this image and find it exciting, but those shepherds were dirty, outcast boys who were disposable. Children of any nationality, race, or creed that are treated as outcast and disposable should make us uncomfortable. What the shepherds find should make us uncomfortable too. A baby lying in a manger, lying in a feed trough. We don't even have to mention that it's God incarnate, God made flesh lying there. The thought of any baby lying in a feed trough should bring discomfort. In the part of the gospel stories that we didn't hear tonight, we find a government leader trying to hijack a faith tradition and maintain his power by being dishonest, as well as seeking to execute a poor child. This threat of assassination forces the stars of our beloved nativity scene to become homeless refugees in a foreign land. With the exception of the wise men protecting the baby, everything about this part of the story should be painful. In looking at the story, the nativity should stir in our hearts less joy to the world and more hope for a better tomorrow. A tomorrow grounded in the light of grace and the dream of human reconciliation. In the end, the birth of Christ leads us to the knowledge of the resurrection and eternal life. This should bring some comfort, but how can we embrace Jesus without fully living into his birth story the way God has told it to us? How can we sing the good tidings of comfort and joy without naming and embracing the uncomfortable parts of our faith story? How can we honestly share the events that took place in that little town of Bethlehem without finding ways to turn our discomfort into hope and create change in the lives of those who brought our story to light? The unwed mothers giving birth in the back alleys because there was nowhere else for them to stay. The dirty poor outcasts and discarded children with a story to tell, but no one will listen. The leaders of the world who abuse their power and rule with fear and superiority. homeless refugees seeking preservation and security of life. This is the beginning of the Jesus story. God didn't become incarnate to simply warm our hearts with the purity of a newborn child. God became incarnate through the harshness of the divine birth story to set our hearts on fire, to be active participants in restoring God's creation. Living our lives with our hearts on fire, we will embrace babies in such a way that we won't want to pass them to someone else when things get hard or start to stink. We will hold them up from the pinnacles of our lives and present them with love as our own flesh, no matter their nationality, race, or creed. And we will sing. We will sing the songs of the Nativity and live as Christ in the world. Amen.